The following is an audio recording of the impact of the word eternity. Collectively, these recordings form an audio history.
I'm Steve Parth and I serve as Director of Ministries for the New South Wales and ACT Baptist Association.
I think my earliest memory is when I saw it emblazoned across the Harbour Bridge at the turn of the millennium. And it was just one of those moments that you think this is a significant moment in history, but to have that word in that space at that time was quite special, because the word eternity is something that connects. There's a sense of hope, I think, that comes with it, a sense of bigness, a sense of that this is something beyond the everyday, and that really connected with the moment as we moved into the new millennium. I think I was watching it on TV, actually, and so in some ways that was great, because it was just right in front of you, and you're watching it with friends. And I think I was out in the bush with a whole group of friends in the back of Sydney, and we had an enjoyable night. And then the fireworks come on, and then you realise the significance of the date and all that means for you personally in your own life, and the lives of those you love, and the friends that are around you. And then this word comes up, and it was quite a moment. No, not personally. I knew the story of it, and I had seen obviously photos of it, but no, not myself. Yeah, I had heard of him, and I've heard of the story because it's part of the Baptist story and the Christian story in this city. And so, yeah, and then making that connection on that night was a significant one. Well, across Australia, a movement of probably about 1,000 or more churches that in local communities, all sorts of communities across the state, you know, city, country, churches in different languages that reflect the diversity of who we are as a nation. And I think churches are committed to the welfare of their local communities and the community more broadly, the practical welfare, the spiritual welfare. Well, in the 1900s, there were similar values to what we see in the Baptist Church today. I think that sense of commitment to the local community, that sense of welfare for people in all of the facets of their life, the recognition that we live holistic lives. And of course, that was in an environment of great struggle for lots of people. You know, the aftermath of World War I, the Great Depression, was a time in which people were really struggling to find meaning and purpose in many, many cases. And the Baptist Church was a church that wanted to be in that space, talking at an everyday level with people and in the situations they found themselves in. I think that over the years leading up to the middle of last century, it had found an Australian voice. You know, the heritage of Baptists was British Baptists that wanted to take interest in the welfare of the new colonies. And so there were people that would come and join Baptist churches in Australia when they moved here. And then there were others who joined churches that started here. And then over the first 50 years of the 1900s, you know, the church increasingly spoke with an Australian voice, a voice that connected and resonated with every man, every woman in the street. The Baptist Tabernacle on Burton Street, of course, is where the Eternity Playhouse Theatre is now, was a building that was built around between the late 1880s, early 1890s, church on the eastern side of Sydney that was at that time, you know, had local residents, and it was built in a couple of stages. And by 1991, it was the envelope really of the building that's there now was there, and it's been there since then. It was a landmark in its local area, and it was a place of gathering. It was a place where people came to share community, share life's journey with one another, share the faith with one another. It was on one of the main corridors into the CBD, and so it drew from people all around that area who, you know, wanted to be part of that community. And the eastern suburbs, also people in the CBD itself who are business people and people who might have been really struggling, and homeless people as well. And then over time, as in its heyday, it really had almost a regional focus, as people used to travel in as well to it. And so it sort of had quite a profile in the town of Sydney at the time. It was really a cross-section of people across society. So there was people who were really on Struggle Street in the local area that were part of it. There were people who lived in the really well-to-do suburbs to the east. There were business people. There were people who lived in the inner city more broadly. And then there were people who had once lived there and then had moved out perhaps a little bit further into the suburbs, but still maintain this connection because of the sense of community that was there. Well, in the mid-1930s, they would have experienced a bit of a buzz, I think. It was, the church was packed every Sunday. There were, you know, loads and loads of kids that were picked up and brought and had time spent with them and programs run for them at the building. It was a place of vibrancy. It was a place where people spent the whole day often, and it was a place of connection. And not only what happened within those walls, of course, because the Burton Street Church itself lived not only within the walls but out of the walls as well, as it ministered and connected with people in the broader community. Outside the four walls, then, it was going into places of need in the community and helping meet those needs. It was taking the message of the Christian faith onto the streets and speaking about it on the streets, which was something that was often done in those days. And it was also connecting with people in their own environments and inviting them into this place of community. Yeah, that generally outreach was something that happened regularly. In fact, it happened regularly across many churches in our city at that time, not just Baptist churches. This was something that was done, you know, across the Christian community more broadly. And certainly at Burton Street, the ministry that John Ridley had there in those particular nights of meetings was something that he would have done in different places. And also Burton Street would have done regularly as well. It was part of the rhythm and the fabric of the life of the church. Arthur had his own spiritual awakening a number of years before at St. Barnabas and Broadway on a meeting that was probably looked quite similar to what was happening with John Ridley at Burton Street. But there was something about John Ridley that he wanted to connect with, and he found himself there. And I'm not sure that we're actually 100% sure why or how he ended up there, but what we do know is that was a very significant night for him personally, and really for the city as we look at the legacy of it. That was the night in which John Ridley spoke a talk that was very significant for Arthur Stace, and it was on the subject of eternity. And Arthur had already, as I said, come to understand a bit of who God was for him, and he was on a spiritual journey. But John Ridley was spending time really emphasising that we needed to take into account eternity, that life wasn't just about the immediate and the needs that we might have and the joys and the sorrows of the immediate, but there is a whole eternity that we need to consider. And towards the end of his talk, John Ridley said, I just want to shout the word eternity throughout the streets of Sydney. And in that moment, there was something very profound that happened for Arthur Stace, and he took that word and he walked out of the church and took a piece of chalk out of his pocket and wrote for the first time in brilliant copperplate script, which he never quite understood how he had that capacity just to do that. He wrote the word eternity, the first of what would be 500,000 times, by his own admission, that he wrote in the decades that followed. It's a really personal thing. It's a very human thing, and it's a very human experience to be gripped by this intersection between the needs of my own life, you know, the immediate, and this understanding that there's a bigger reality that I want to connect with. John Ridley had his own spiritual awakening actually at Burton Street Baptist Church a number of years before the First World War, and he enlisted for that war. And he came back and he was a decorated veteran. And through all of those experiences, he knew that life could be, you know, very dark at times. And he had a way of communicating and speaking that just connected with the ordinary person and with the tough times and the good times of life. And so it was that sort of capacity to connect and speak the language of the people that John Ridley had really a knack for and a gift for. And that's what he did on that night on the 14th of November 1932. The second last night of a number of nights of meetings that he was holding at Burton Street. The church itself had its own grapevine, of course, but it was promoted in the religious press and in the wider press as well. That wasn't an unusual thing to do at that time. That here was an opportunity that you could come, and people came. The Burton Street Church had been used as a church for almost 110 years. And over that time, it had seen huge change in the life of its local area. The 1900s were a time when there was lots of residential development in the area itself. And then people grew up and then they moved away and they maintained connection. But I guess the vibrancy that was at Burton Street was also being replicated in Baptist churches and other churches across the city. And so bit by bit, people tended to move to connect with a church in a community that was local to where they were. And of course, this was before all the rejuvenation of residential development in the CBD itself. And so it came to the point where there was a few people who were local to the area. So then for a number of years, it was actually used by one of our organisations, Hope Street, which was working with disadvantaged and marginalised people. But in the end, there was the recognition that this building had a story, and a story that needed to be preserved for all of our sakes, for the whole city, and that its value going forward would be in the preservation of that story, the preservation of the rich architecture of it, and the preservation of it as a gathering place. Well, right from the beginning, the stories, and of course the Christian story and the interaction of that in people's lives was what it was there for from the beginning. And it has been a place where community of all sorts has been created and stories have been told. Yeah, and it's still that way today. Well, I think this whole idea of storytelling, it was birthed as a place to tell the Christian story, and it's still used as a place of storytelling. It's still used as a place of gathering and a place of community. And so those things continue just like they were when it was first built and first used. Of course, the stories are different now, and I think the Christian story that was connected and spoken through that building in the first 110 years of its life continues to resonate through the lives and experiences of people who were there. Well, it's about this one night, really. It's about this one talk that was spoken by John Ridley. It's about this one unlikely hero, Arthur Stace, who would take that challenge to spread the word eternity over the streets of Sydney and go out and do that for the first time on the pavement outside just after the service or the meeting, and then would make a commitment of decades when nobody even knew who he was to write that over and over and over again. And such to the point where there's the legacy now of multitudes of people who've been impacted by that, and all of us, of course, when that eternity word appeared on the Harbour Bridge on the turn of the millennium.
Yeah, well, it's a really significant word. It's a word that speaks of possibilities and purpose and hope. And I think in the Christian story, it's this connection of eternity with the everyday, that, you know, God, who is eternal, wants to connect with us who are not eternal, wants to be involved in our lives and wants to give meaning and purpose to life and to living. And so we have our own opportunity to connect with the eternal story. And I think that's a really significant thing. It brings hope and purpose for living. Well, I've heard it said that eternity is the tagline of Sydney. And in many ways, that's true. I mean, we've seen it in so many places across our city. And I think it does connect with something inside of many of us, for a desire for purpose, desire to see ourselves in the big picture, the big story. I think of that moment when I saw it unfurled on the Harbour Bridge on the beginning of the millennium. And it was just a moment in time when you thought, I'm part of something big here, and that goes beyond me, and that's really significant. And so I think that sense of hope and purpose and forward looking, that's what is significant about the word for all of us. If Arthur hadn't found himself in the building at that time, if Arthur hadn't done that, if John Ridley hadn't spoken that message about eternity, if it hadn't clicked with him, then he would have not had that sense of life purpose and not lived it out for all of those decades in the way he did. It was quite a remarkable life, this unsung hero for 25 years or so before it was even really discovered who he was. And so for Arthur, this was a sense of purpose. This was a direction for him. This was almost what he was created for. And he lived it out day in and day out for decades. Without the Burton Street Tabernacle being there, and without John Ridley speaking on eternity that night, and without Arthur Stace being there, no, the eternity story probably wouldn't exist. Well, I think in the Baptist Church, we recognise that we live our lives in the light of eternity, and we live for more than just the now. The now is really important, and it often takes up so much of our time and energy, but we live for something bigger, and that is what gives hope and purpose and what directs our service in the wider community. It's a word of hope and a word of purpose. It's a word that speaks about that I'm made for something bigger than just what's happening going on around me, and I have worth as a person, and I'm part of a big story, connected, and that's great. I describe it as something that's become part of the fabric of our city, really. We're talking about it now. How many years afterwards? It's come about because of this one unlikely hero. And his story in so many ways resonates with the story of so many of us in the city. Just ordinary person and understanding and coming to understand what their purpose in life is and living it out and having an impact that was far beyond what he could have ever imagined.
So, yeah, someone told me that the Baptist Church is to blame for graffiti around Sydney.
Well, certainly 500,000 times is a lot of graffiti, but it did wash off with the next shower of rain. So I think Arthur managed to be okay with that. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, once the message was eternal, the chalk wasn't. And I guess that for me is just a reminder that that message we have to keep reminding ourselves of. It's something that we need to keep fresh for ourselves, and that's what Arthur was doing. I mean, he went to different parts of the city, he went to different parts of the state actually at times to give that same message, that same eternal message in the immediacy of the day, in the immediacy of the circumstances of people's lives. And it made impacts on people for a moment or a day, or perhaps even for much longer. I think he's an unsung hero, yeah. And I think he's someone that we look to and say his story, it could have been your story or my story, anyone's story. And it's a great example of how God will use us as we, you know, let ourselves be used for purposes that may be greater than we thought.
Subscribe below to find out more about the audio recordings and to be kept up to date when more are made available.